I don't know that this is true, but I have it in my mind that just about every time I'm talking about the season of transition, and transitional seasons occur fairly regularly, and this is one of them, I use this text. It's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. It's really Jesus' punchline to the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you should put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not much more value than they? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you?" The word of the Lord. Maybe you remember what most of us would consider that silly little song that had kind of a reggae beat that was out a few years ago called "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And now that's going to be going through your head for about the next week. And I think most of us thought that's a cute little sentiment and all of that, but nobody really takes it. "Don't worry" seems like a pointless admonition. How do you stop yourself from doing that? And I sometimes think that even this text is sort of lumped in the same category as the silly little song. Do not be anxious about your life. Consider the lilies of the field. Okay, sure. But what's he talking about? Does he not know? I just sent my kid off to college and it's Texas Tech. It's on the list of party schools. Does he not know that our community has yet to figure out or even begin to think about how we're going to make it without Jimmy? And that's not the first or last time it's happened. Does he not know about the international war on terror? Etc., etc., etc. Don't worry. Have no anxiety. Sorry. There's a lot to be anxious about. Well, what I want to talk about today is some very specific strategies, not for eliminating worry or for abolishing anxiety, but dialing it back and making it manageable. Some very specific things that we can think about and that we can do that help us consider, at least, the lilies of the field in the midst of our anxiety. We spend a week on the beach every year, and there's a rhythm to that, and there are lots of reasons we do that, one of which is to kind of gather up together as a family and experience some serenity in preparation for the start of the school year and the cranking up of things that occur in the fall. And it's one of those places that, at least for me anyway, it's sort of like the disciples on the mount with Jesus at his transfiguration. Let's build a box here and stay put for a while. I'd rather not come down from the mountain. I like it here on the beach. Let's just stay here while the sun is out and the water is warm. And of course, we have to go back into the real world. And about Thursday, that's when it hits me. And I start grieving the fact that in about 2 days, we got to leave here. And then I get over it and it's all right. But on Thursday morning of the week that we were there this week, I was jogging along the beach. And one of the things I want to suggest to you today that helps us deal with anxiety was very apparent to me as I was making my morning run along the beach and hearing the waves and seeing the rhythm of the ocean right next to me. The whole of our life together is greater than the sum of its parts. And there is a rhythm and a movement and a stability that is foundational to what we are and where we live that's sometimes lost on us. And at that moment, when I was running along the edge of the surf and each of my footprints just in a minute being washed away by the next wave, the sort of relentless ebb and flow and movement of a tremendous power was apparent to me. And it kind of put things in perspective. That's really the first strategy for dealing with anxiety. That is, get some perspective. Put it into perspective of the big picture. It's a hard thing to do. The prophet Job was complaining to God about his sad, sorry life and how God was sending him to places he didn't want to go, to people who didn't want to listen to him and who didn't listen to him once he said what God told him to say. And Job said, I've just about had it. And God's response to Job was to say, where were you when I created the earth? Oh, wait. I guess there are things that are larger than me. It isn't always all about me. And there's a kind of foundational stability and support to the foundation of the earth that was created by a loving God and who gives me the chance now to move about on it, whether it be to jog along its beaches or to go back to work and meet the day or to meet whatever it is that's keeping me awake at night. We live in a world that has a foundation laid by a loving and caring and strong and supportive God. So get some perspective. Maybe it's a run along the beach. Maybe after a sleepless night, as long as you're awake anyway, go watch the sunrise come up over the horizon and illuminate the cap rock and get a perspective that be still and know that God is God here and God is in charge. And the anxiety may dial back some. Second strategy is to tell yourself, well, I've been here before. This is not the first time I've experienced this kind of stress or even this type of loss. In many ways, losing a key member of our community, or on another level, watching a child go off to college, is, well, it's the same sort of emotion that we had when they went off to kindergarten. Or when we were 7, our first turtle died. We start rehearsing for the big losses through the little losses that we've lived with since we were children, since we were aware of anything. We were aware that life has gains and losses. I took my favorite marble to school one afternoon, and it was a mistake. I went home for lunch and got my favorite marble because another kid had one kind of like it, and I was going to challenge him and come home with both of them. I came home with none of them. And it was a devastating loss. I mean, these losses occur all the time. We've been here before. We have learned to adapt. We have learned to improvise. We have come through the experience, not unscathed or unscarred. Blake's got himself a pretty nasty knife wound from doing what kids do with knives and apples and things, and I've got a couple myself. And we come through. We adapt. We improvise, and we overcome. And this morning I have two visuals that help us hold these thoughts in place. These are the waves that I was jogging next to when I got a perspective that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. This is a picture of a bush of sea oats, which is a pretty interesting and rather hardy plant growing out of the sand. I don't know how this particular plant figured out how to live on the sand or in the beach, but it was a very good idea. We can adapt. We can improvise. And we can overcome. We will not come through it unscathed. We will live with the scars of the experience, scars that we have earned through lack of good judgment, experiences that have come to us that we couldn't foresee and over which we had no control, and yet we move on. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and we're very much a key part of the foundation of that whole, and we've been here before, we've learned how to cope, we'll do it again. We will garner up our emotional resources. We will read up on the problem. We will seek the advice of wise counsel. We will lay our heads on the shoulders of people who love us. And we will get through it. A second way of dialing back the anxiety. Third strategy, humor. We are a very good-humored bunch. It's part of what I appreciate about this particular church and the people of Post, Texas. You can always count on somebody to crack a joke, especially when the anxiety starts building in our own lives. Humor, emotionally, is the other side of the same coin as anger and fear. People say, if I didn't laugh, I'd cry. Well, that's because they're essentially the same emotion. And humor is a kind of outlet for deep feeling. Imagine, if you will, this mind picture, a 7-year-old girl with pigtails in a gingham pinafore sitting on the porch of a farmhouse, one of those wraparound porches, spitting watermelon seeds. Make you smile a little bit. That was an image I used at a funeral many years ago for a woman I did not know. A woman who'd been a part of the community where I was doing this type of work, who'd moved away, and who'd come back, and whose body had been brought back to that community for burial. And as I say, I didn't know her, I didn't know the family. But someone told me in the run-up to the funeral that that family grew watermelons. And so seed spitting was a phrase that showed up in the funeral sermon, and everybody laughed. A strategy that I continue to try to work with, that there are things, even in the midst of great sadness, that can make us smile. And there are classic pieces of humor that work at least as well as some of the medications that we take to dial back our anxieties or make us feel better. And maybe the best of them, and I've posted this on the church website. There's a link on the church website right now where you can click and hear the classic Abbott and Costello routine, who's on first. Of course, we've heard it a million times, and if you hear it again, it will make you laugh out loud. You can't help yourself. And I think it's a resource for helping us dial back the anxiety. A good laugh helps us put things into perspective. It helps us get a grip. It helps us find ways to adapt and improvise and overcome. The last image I want to leave you with is a song. Not Don't Worry, Be Happy, but a song very similar to it, the chorus of which you'll recognize. And before I play it, I want to remind you that the chorus of the song says, "Everything will turn out all right." That's different than every day and every way things will be better and better. Things will turn out, they'll be all right. They'll be different maybe, maybe irretrievably different, but all right. So, I'm going to play this and let it be the theme that you carry with you. It happens to be the song that I had going through my mind for reasons I can't explain when I was jogging on the beach and the whole ocean imagery hit me. My brother-in-law and I had been on a donut run that morning and we were listening to a 60s radio station, and this was a song that showed up in my head, and I leave it with you simply with the words, Amen.